Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we come before you on this Sunday, on this Palm Sunday, as we remember your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Lord, thousands of years later, we declare Hosanna the same way as your early disciples did, because we place our faith, we place our trust and our hope in you. Lord, this morning as we gather together in worship, in song, in prayer, in meditation, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move mightily and powerfully in this place. We ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, all of our senses, so that we would be made aware of your presence moving here in this place. Lord, we also lift up prayers for our friends, our family members, our loved ones who are in need of your healing, your strength, your guidance, and your provision. Lord, would you remind us that you have called each and every one of us to be your disciples, so that you can use us to be your hands and feet, that we would be your living ambassadors of light and love and peace on this earth. Lord, we also ask that you would open our eyes and you would open our hearts as we consider all the need, not only around us in our immediate vicinity, but in the world abroad. Lord, we want our hearts to break for the things that break your heart. Lord, we lift up prayers not only for the leaders in our local and international community, but we also pray for our brothers and sisters all across the globe who are working in holy communion with you to do your work here on this earth. Challenge us, prod us, empower us, inspire us this morning so that we might be able to fulfill a need as well. We take a moment of silence. Speak to us. Make us aware. And we humbly listen. Jesus, we thank you here this morning, and we lift up these prayers as we pray the prayer you first taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our gospel reading comes from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Peter probably picked up his palm when Jesus entered the gates of Jerusalem and waved the branches like all the rest. Jesus rode through the city gates with the crowds cheering. The Gospel of Luke tells us the people cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Peter, perhaps more than most people, had been waiting for this day. He'd witnessed Jesus' miracles and he heard his teachings. Peter was the one who was willing to get out of the boat and walk on water with Jesus. He was the one who wanted to build a monument on a mountain when he witnessed Jesus transformed into the likeness of God. And when the people celebrated his coming into the city of Jerusalem, perhaps Peter sensed that Jesus was finally being recognized for who he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. The officers of the temple told Jesus to make the people quiet down, and Jesus said, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Peter, the one Jesus called Rock, believed Jesus would use his disciples like stones to build a new and mighty kingdom for God.
On the week of Jesus' crucifixion, he went to the temple daily. He taught, and his words brought wisdom and comfort to some, but he antagonized others. Finally, it was the night for the Passover meal. Jesus and his disciples gathered in an upper room that had been prepared for them. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you." Peter learned that night that Jesus would not reign with the mighty privilege given to a king of the world. Instead, Jesus chose to rule as a humble servant. Those who follow will do the same. But that was not the only lesson that Peter and the disciples would learn that night. Peter knew the importance and symbolism of bread. He remembered the unleavened bread eaten each year to remember how God helped the people of Israel to escape from slavery in Egypt. Peter knew that bread from heaven, manna, had fed the wandering people in the wilderness. And Peter had seen what Jesus could do with bread. A few loaves became food for thousands. Jesus had called himself the bread of life. He said that whoever believed in him would never be hungry. They would never be thirsty. At that table, at the last meal that Jesus would share with his disciples, Peter heard that the bread of life would be broken, blessed by God, and given to the world. Peter reached out his hand and he took that bread. After the meal was over, Jesus took the cup. He blessed it and let his disciples know that his blood would be shed so that they would know the promise of eternal life. Peter shared the cup as it was passed to him. Peter had heard of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness after his baptism. Satan had said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus said, "Human beings do not live by bread alone." Could the bread of life conquer the threatening stones of pride and hatred? Would Jesus, who had declared that the cornerstone would be rejected, willingly agree to be broken and poured out? In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open communion. You do not need to be a member of this church, nor any church, but simply desire to live in new and renewed relationship with Jesus Christ.
And so, God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on this gift of bread and cup. May it be the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. But make us one in spirit, so that we might be one together, one in ministry, until we feast at his heavenly banquet. All honor, glory, and power is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The Garden of Gethsemane. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "They'll all become deserters because of you. I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. The disciples could not imagine deserting Jesus. So when Jesus left the upper room and made his way to the Mount of Olives to pray, the disciples followed. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus moved apart from his disciples to pray. Perhaps he knelt at a rock, leaning against its hard surface for support. Peter was prepared for that night. Not only would he be faithful to Jesus like a rock, he would protect Jesus. In the dark of the Passover night, Peter carried a sword. It was Jesus, after all, who had said there would come a time when disciples would be called to take up their swords. If there was such a time, this was certainly it. Peter was ready. Then, winding their way from the city gates, the leaders of the temple and the temple guards made their way into the garden. They carried torches and weapons. They brought light to capture the light of the world. Peter readied himself. As they came near, asking for Jesus, seeking to arrest Jesus, Peter drew back and used his blade. He cut off a man's ear. But Jesus stopped him from going further. He said, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Without further resistance, the guards took Jesus away to imprisonment in the dark of the night. Where did the disciples go that night? Some to the homes of friends, perhaps others stayed in the garden to pray, and a few, including Peter, followed behind Jesus and the soldiers from a comfortable distance. They had deserted Jesus just as he said. Their hearts were as heavy as stones.
Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
When times were good and the sun shone on Jesus' ministry, Peter declared to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus had told him, "You will be my rock." But the rock that Jesus experienced in the last hours of his life was the rock of Calvary, a place of execution, holes had been cut into the hard stone on a weathered hill so that the Roman crosses of execution could stand before the people. Jesus was nailed to the cross and lifted up, and the cross was set in stone. On the night before crucifixion, Jesus had told his disciples that he would be betrayed, and they had asked, "Is it I, Lord? Surely it isn't I." But the stone was testimony to betrayal, denial, and abandonment. The stone cried of adoration, turned to rejection. The stone was heavy with violence and betrayal, denial, and hatred. And Jesus, the cornerstone of love and mercy, willingly agreed to be broken. What stones have we piled here at the cross? Pebbles of neglect and apathy? Stones of denial and sin? Let us prayerfully bring our confession to Jesus Christ.
Jesus looked out from the cross of crucifixion and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." All of the stones, all of the weight of brokenness and burden we carry in this life can be piled at the foot of the cross. Jesus welcomes it. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest." He said to his beloved friends who had experienced the pain of loss and death, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." This was the promise that sustained and empowered Peter to become the rock of Christ's church, and it is the mercy and wondrous love of Jesus Christ that allows us to drop our burdens and declare, "Jesus Christ is my Savior, the Lord of my life." Let us pray. Oh God, your wondrous love astounds us. We stand amazed at the cost of our freedom, of our new life in you. You came to earth and did not turn from anyone. Lord, we know that stone by stone, your crucifixion was set in place, and yet you still acted in love for us on the cross. You have saved others because you chose not to save yourself. We pray that we might live in gratitude and hope for renewed life in your gracious love. Amen. Let us leave with our palms waving and shouts of Hosanna. The King has come and lives with us to reign forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen. Amen.